The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Because churches are made up of human beings, funny things happen at church quite often. And usually, they happen at the most inappropriate times of the service. Sometimes you get to see them, but I notice them probably more often than you do. Especially at baptisms. So you know how you get on Google and you put in a search for something? And you click on it, which leads you to something else, which leads you to something else, which leads you to something else. So I was on Google and looking for funny stories about baptisms for this sermon, and I ran across YouTube videos of crazy baptisms. You can do this at home, too. So I was watching a video of a Greek Orthodox baptism. And you know, in the Orthodox tradition, when they baptize babies, the babies are buck naked, and they are fully immersed three times in a big font or a big tub of water. So in this video, the priest had just immersed the baby for the third time, and then lifts the baby out of the water and thrusts the baby up so that all the congregation can see. This new Christian, however, has more than salvation on his mind, and he sees this as a prime opportunity for a potty break. And if you are thinking to yourself, well, that's kind of convenient because there's this big tub of water right there, well, let's just say they had to buy a new Bible. No matter what happens at a baptism, they are beautiful, they are wonderful, and they are holy. And there is always the possibility, especially when children are involved, and sometimes with adults too, that something will not go as planned. And you see that happening today in this gospel reading because something went askew at Jesus' baptism. Matthew tells us that John did not want to baptize Jesus. After all, now put yourself in John's position. John knows that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You're going to hear that next week in the John Gospel reading. So, if Jesus is the Messiah, if he is the sinless Son of God, and John's baptism was the forgiveness of sins, then why in the world would Jesus need to be baptized? And I have to tell you that in my opinion, the Christian church has never been comfortable with Jesus' baptism. And I think that it's perhaps because over time, baptism became more about cleansing from sin so that you can escape hell or purgatory, rather than baptism being seen as a sacrament that declares our identity with Jesus, the beloved child of God. Now, on this point, all the evangelists agree. All four Gospels. Baptism is not just simply a mechanism for forgiveness. Baptism announces God's favor. Baptism establishes Jesus' identity and propels Jesus into his mission. In Matthew's account, the voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the one in whom I am well pleased, my beloved." Baptism for Jesus was not about imputing forgiveness. It was about declaring Jesus' identity and the inauguration of his mission to reveal the essence of the kingdom of God. For Jesus, baptism was about preparation for living the mission, living out his identity as the beloved. Now, in short, if you don't remember anything else about this sermon, remember these two words: identity and purpose. Baptism tells us who we really are and what our purpose really is in this world. When early Christians talked about Jesus, they went right to one of the books in the Hebrew scripture for a biblical text that would help them understand what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And do you know what book of the Hebrew scriptures they often went to more than not? EFMers, help me out here. Isaiah. They went to Isaiah. One of our readings today is from Isaiah. Do you hear echoes of Isaiah in this reading? Jesus' baptism not only confirmed his identity, but it launched his career as the servant of God. And I think that's why all four of the gospel writers give us an account of Jesus' baptism. Because it's part and parcel of who Jesus is and what he has sent into the world to do. And when it comes to translating the gospel into hard reality, this is one of those times when the church gets it right. We don't often get things right. Sometimes we do, thank God. And we get it right here because we place the baptismal font right there. And it's not just about the arrangement of church furniture. Oh, we think it will look pretty there. When we come into this place, the font is really hard to avoid. And that's one of the reasons why you have an insert in your bulletin and why we're commissioning a permanent font. It's an important piece of furniture. It's a reminder of who we are and to whom we belong. We are the beloved daughters and sons of God. And we put it there so that you have to trip over it almost when you leave here. Because it reminds us that our real identity as the beloved of God means that we are also sent out like Jesus was, sent into the world to be servants of God. Now, what does it mean for us to be sent out to be servants of God? I think Jesus' response to John gives us a clue. Jesus said to John, "Baptize me because it must be done to fulfill all righteousness." What in the world does that mean? Righteousness for some of us is like a dirty word because of all the connotations that come with it. But in the Bible, righteousness has more to do with who you are on the outside matching who you are on the inside, rather than following a strict moral code or a list of rules and regulations. Isaiah's description of a servant is that of an active agent of the kingdom of God. Read through it again. And the early Christians picked up on that. And by virtue of our baptism, it applies to us as well, because the word servant invokes such a rather negative image of, in our day, mindless subservience. I choose to use this word, agent or emissary. An ambassador might be a better word to use there. To serve God means that we act as agents of the kingdom, that we carry out, we become partners with God in the restoration of the world. We serve God. We are agents of the kingdom when we love, when we care for the marginalized, when we care for the poor and the lonely. We serve God when we live in such a way that is life-giving to our bodies, to our minds, to our emotions, to our relationships, to God's creation. We serve God when we seek reconciliation between others and ourselves with whom we are at odds. We serve God and we live out our identity as the beloved when we reach beyond our circle of friends to include others. We serve God when we learn how to empty our hearts so that there is space for God to enter. We serve God when we do anything that leads to life, when we engage in a conversation or any act that leads to God and to the quality of life that God has promised all of us in God's kingdom. Some of us think that serving, when you hear that word, you think, oh my gosh, he's going to come after me to volunteer for something. Serving God is not complicated. It should not be complicated. Serving God is as simple. Being a servant is as simple as looking around to see what needs to be done now to make our little corner of the world more just, more loving, more beautiful, more life-giving, more whole. It's as simple as living in such a way that our identity, our true identity as beloved children of God, actually translates into the way we live our lives. Our identity as daughters and sons of God tells us what our purpose is. And our primary purpose here on this earth as beloved children of God is to treat every human being as the beloved of God. Now that's about seven words, but there's a lot there. To treat every other human being as the beloved of God. The early Christians made a lot of baptism. It was a big deal. Sometimes you would be preparing for a year, 2 years to be baptized. Tertullian, who was an early Christian leader, describes how baptism was practiced in the second century. He writes, "When we are going to enter the water, we solemnly profess that we disown the devil, his pomp, and his angels." You heard that in our baptismal covenant before? He goes on to write, "We are immersed thrice, making a somewhat ampler pledge than the Lord has appointed in his gospel. And then when we are taken up, we taste a mixture of milk and honey. And from that day, we refrain from the daily bath for a whole week." Now, I'm grateful that we do not observe the last custom. Maybe you'll get some milk and honey today, but please take a bath. In a few moments, we're going to sprinkle you with water as a reminder of your baptism. And I encourage you, when you leave today, splash a little bit of water on your forehead. Again, as a reminder of who you are and your call to pattern your life after the servant, Jesus. And that water, well, maybe not in today's weather, but eventually that water will evaporate. Or you'll wipe it off before you get to the front door. And you most certainly will not refrain from taking a bath for a week. But my prayer is that as you receive this water as a reminder of your baptism, that what it stands for will really sink into your head, to your soul. That it will somehow leak into your memory day after day. And not just today on the feast day of the baptism of our Lord, but every day this week, tomorrow, when you go to the office or the school, or you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning checking the weather to see Everything's closed down because of the snow. Or you're on 202 sitting in traffic. Or you're Tuesday night at dinner with someone. My prayer is that when someone asks you your name, you'll be tempted to say, "I'm Steve, a beloved child and servant of the living God." Amen.